I think part of the problem is that when we look around at the women around us, you know, we don't always see what goes on behind closed doors, and we assume that a lot of women with big jobs are doing it all. But if you actually peek behind the curtain, they're not.
You're listening to The Stand Up from Monday.com, where we talk to real leaders every episode to get their sharpest insights.
I'm so happy to welcome to the show Katie McPhee. Katie spent about 18 years in tech and biotech sales. And despite a really successful career, she's struggled with transitioning from manager to director to VP, although I know she ultimately landed some pretty amazing executive roles. And she even questioned whether she was cut out to be a senior executive. And now, after that fruitful and amazing career, she's devoting her time to helping empower women and closing the gender gap in senior leadership roles as the founder and CEO of Insights to Action Coaching and Consulting. Thanks so much for joining me, Katie.
No, thank you so much for having me.
You discuss a lot this concept of self-doubt, this idea of not being sure that you're ready for those C-suite roles, ready for those executive roles. Where did you struggle with this, and what are some of the things that helped you overcome that self-doubt?
I think we all struggle with it from time to time. I think that for women, something that really probably magnifies our self-doubt is a lack of representation. So I was someone who early in my career, I had a decent amount of confidence. I came into my career and I saw early success. I worked really hard, you know, all of that stuff. So for the first, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, I was feeling pretty good. I was moving up. And when I really started to feel a lot of self-doubt was moving into a leadership role at a company where I was the only woman at the table. I became a single mom during that time. And all of the men on the team with me had stay-at-home wives. I'm not like these people. Like, they don't understand me. I didn't have really anyone who I knew who had been in a similar situation to me who I could look up to and ask for help. And just being in that situation, like, I felt really alone, and it really caused me to doubt whether I should be there in the first place. And maybe this wasn't cut out for me. Maybe I didn't look like the people that sat at this table. And what exasperated that as well was that I had undiagnosed ADHD. There's a lot of elements to that. I thought, okay, I come up with great ideas and then I forget to pay for parking. Or, you look, I know how to run my team. And also I was 5 minutes late for that meeting. So there was like just a lot of conflicting thoughts, but it really all stemmed from not having someone to relate to, I think, right? So instead, I just thought that I was the problem and really internalized that. So yeah, I felt that quite a bit during those years. There's so many examples I could give, but that's kind of the general situation that was happening.
During that time when you're, you know, sitting in a meeting or you're looking at leadership and you're not seeing those examples, what are some of the ways that you yourself started to say, hey, something's not right here, or maybe I'm not the problem, as you said? When did you start having those realizations?
One was I started working with an executive coach. And this individual was someone who was highly respected. He coached some very senior people at well-known tech companies. And I kind of asked him point blank. I was like, what am I doing wrong? Or why is this the perception of me that maybe I'm not that strategic or I'm not ready to be a VP? And he was pretty honest with me. He's like, honestly, I don't know. You're doing all of the things. I see you as someone who's strategic. And I had a couple of really direct conversations with him because at that point, I was debating a career change. Like, I was like, maybe this just is not the path for me. I'm never going to make it. So I should think about something else that I'm actually good at. And so I asked this person, and I'm a big believer, by the way, in having people in your life that you can ask for real, honest feedback from and trust that they're going to give it to you. And this individual was one of those people for me where I really believed like he would give it to me straight. And so I said, like, you know, do you think I should be moving in another direction? Like, maybe I should be doing something more just like people oriented? Or, and he was like, Katie, you could be a VP tomorrow. That really caused me to think maybe I'm just in the wrong place. And these people might never see that in me, but someone else might. And that was when I made the decision to go take a role somewhere else.
There's so much talk about how a lot of times strategic thinking, or there's lots of code words. Sometimes people talk about executive presence, et cetera, as kind of code words for women, right? That a lot of time women get this kind of feedback, and it's in some ways sometimes commenting on their leadership abilities, but oftentimes not, as you just said. You know, you had an executive coach say to you, it's not you, it's them. What advice do you have for, you know, young women in their careers that are receiving this kind of feedback? And what do you do with that? How do you move forward? What kind of help do you seek out?
Yeah, if you're receiving that feedback from your manager, I always recommend asking for tangible next steps or getting really clear on what expectations look like in order to move to the next level. Okay, you want me to work on my executive presence? What would it look like if I was able to work on my executive presence and really improve it to the point that you believed I was ready for the next level? What would that tangibly look like? And really hold your manager accountable, because I find that feedback, frankly, to be lazy, right? It's vague. There's often not a next step. And that might not be something that you feel comfortable saying to your manager. I certainly didn't at that point. But drawing attention to the fact that it is vague feedback and asking for tangible examples of how you can really showcase that can be super helpful. One, because you know what to do. And two, then you can come back to them and say, hey, you told me to do X, Y, Z. I have done it. Let's revisit that conversation. If your manager is not able to provide additional feedback for you that is more actionable, I recommend looking outside. I always say, like, there's a lot of leaders out there who are in senior leadership and don't fully understand how they got there. And when I think about my journey, yes, I then became a VP, but the thing that really made me dig deep into what are the things that I had to change in order to do that and to really do a 180 on that perception, it was because I looked at all these women around me who I was mentoring or who reported to me, and I saw the same thing in them. I'm not going to give that vague feedback. I'm going to really get obsessed with this and understand what are the things that it takes for us to believe that somebody's ready for senior leadership so that I can help these women around me. Otherwise, I probably would have never thought about it either, right? So I always say, if you're not getting it from your manager, they might not know. They might not be withholding this information from you. They just might not know the answer. And they're probably not going to tell you that. But you can look outside. You can look for coaches. You can look for mentors. You can look for people in your life who have done the thing you want to do. And I'm a big believer in investing in yourself and finding those people instead of just putting your career in your manager's hands. But oftentimes we don't, or our manager does not know how to give us the right direction in order for us to get to the next level.
We talked a little bit about some of the negative feedback you might get, but what kind of unique leadership styles or attributes do women bring to the table that you think sometimes are undervalued?
Yeah, what women tend to be higher on the EQ side, which we know now is so important for effective leadership, right? Which is emotional intelligence. Women are often higher empathy. I would say another thing that is unique to women specifically is that because we have children and are mothers, obviously not every woman's going to have kids, but many of us do, we are forced to become so creative in terms of how we get things done and how we manage all of these things in our life that I think it actually gives us this like special power to just be able to handle a lot of stuff. Lots of leadership studies and books that you can read that will really point out that a lot of women's inherent qualities are the best leadership skills you could want. So women do naturally make excellent leaders. And the fact that there was not parity in senior leadership today is, to me, a demonstration of the bias and systemic issues that exist more than women's capabilities.
One of the things I personally find really inspiring about your journey is that, you know, you do talk a lot about this opportunity of being a mom, balancing work and life, balancing having a family. What advice do you have to maybe that new mom that's just starting out, that wants that big, high-powered career, or to any working parent, whether that's a mom or a dad, what advice do you have for them?
A few things. So one would be not to assume that just because you are now a parent, you can't chase every dream that you had before. I'm a big believer that you can have it all, but you can't do it all. And by that, I mean, you can have a big job and you can have a family and you can have all of these things, but you can't be the one who is cleaning the whole house from top to bottom and baking the bake sale cookies from scratch and being the high-powered breadwinner and, right? It's just impossible. And oftentimes as women especially, we believe that we have to do that. I think part of the problem is that when we look around at the women around us, you know, we don't always see what goes on behind closed doors. And we assume that a lot of women with big jobs are doing it all. But if you actually peek behind the curtain, they're not. They have a whole bunch of help. They're either hiring people or their parents are really involved or whatever the thing is. But I just think we have this idea of what it looks like to be a successful woman. Pretty early on, I was like, forget that. I just don't subscribe to it. I'm A-okay to be like, you know what? That is something that we have to be willing to let go of. Like, nobody's imposing that on us, but we have to be willing to let it go. So yeah, that would be the big thing, is don't give up on what your dreams are, but also understand that you don't have to and you shouldn't do it all for your own just mental health.
From the leader's perspective, let's say you're managing and you want to support your employees with families, other than being a parent yourself. What kind of tips do you have for senior leaders, directors, executives that also want to support kind of a family-friendly culture in their organization?
To me, like, the key thing is flexibility, right? Allowing flexibility for individuals to take their kid to an appointment or be working at home or whatever the thing is. The other thing would be focusing on results instead of, for example, number of hours in the office or whatever, right? Like, we're focused on results and we allow people to get it done however they need to get it done. That gives them the autonomy and freedom to do what they need to do for their families. One of the things that I did as a leader was I kept my calendar open and I would put right in it, take Liam to the doctor, whatever the thing, I would have it right in my calendar intentionally because I was communicating to my team, you can go do this too. Recently interviewed a woman, chief human resources officer, and she talked about her experience and she talked about some of the women who modeled being a successful working mother to her. She had the opportunity to work with both Rosalind Brewer and Fran Horowitz, right? The CEOs of Walgreens and Abercrombie & Fitch. And she said both of them, if they got a call from one of their kids, they would take it and like walk out of the room and go take the call. And she said, that was just so meaningful for us as women and as mothers to see them doing this, the CEO of the company prioritizing a call from one of their kids. It gave them permission to be able to do that. And I just think that that is so powerful because so often leaders will say, yes, you can prioritize your family or yes, do what you need to do. But if they're calling you on Sunday morning or if they are never taking vacation or they are working 14-hour days or, you know, they're not modeling that for you. And so they're really not giving you permission to do it.
So important. And it really ties into what we've been talking about a few times is this leading by example and how powerful that is. I'd love to kind of transition. We have a segment that we call How I Failed. Something that you failed or something that went terribly wrong, but you learned something really important from. I'd love to hear an example of that in your life.
I learn by failing all the time, right? A lot of the things that I've tried to do the first time failed. And then I had to make the choice, do I try again or do I give up? So as an example, I was working, you know, with some B2B clients, like corporate clients, and I was doing a bunch of one-on-one coaching. And I had this idea, I want to do a group program for women who are aspiring executives. And I tried to launch it. I had no idea really what I was doing. And it totally failed. Like, I had two people sign up and I'm like, I can't do a group with two people. And so I essentially had to cancel it and move it out. And now that's the biggest driver in my business, right? And it's so interesting. I love telling people that because so many people would have experienced that and said like, oh, I guess the group doesn't work. It failed. And I thought, okay, what can I do differently? I'm going to try it again. And so I tried it again. And then I sold out a small group and I was like, okay. And then I continued to try it. I continued to iterate it. And like I said, now it's the biggest driver in my business. To me, the whole point is to get really curious about what went right and what went wrong and iterate on it and try again if it's something that's important to you.
So many lessons there for leading a team. I mean, really this idea of approaching everything like an experiment. If failed, let's devise a hypothesis, let's do some research, let's get curious and then launch it again, trying a different approach to something. Very cool. Well, now we have kind of like a quick professional fire round, quick questions you can just answer with kind of the first thing that pops into your head. First question, what's one piece of advice you wish you had received early in your career?
I would probably say, like, you belong at the table as much as anyone else.
And what's one life hack, secret code, cheat code that you've learned in work-life balance that you would pass on to somebody else?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in the daily routine. So I take time for myself every single morning. I'm a believer in like moving your body in the morning, exercising, meditating, and prioritizing that unapologetically.
One more question for you. What's a piece of media that you can't live without right now? A podcast, a series, a YouTube channel, something that you just are obsessed with right now?
And this is interesting because I'm such a proponent for women and women in leadership, but I've been listening to a lot of Alex Hormozi's podcast. He's kind of a bro.
Oh, cool.
But that gives really tangible advice. So there you go. You can learn from anyone.
Perfect. That's amazing. So thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a real pleasure. If our listeners want to hear more about you or learn more about you, where can they go?
I post on LinkedIn every single day. So if you like some of the stuff that I talk about, definitely go follow me there and you can check out some of that content. And I also have a free newsletter. So you can subscribe to my free newsletter. I do a deep dive every single week on tips to help you level up or lessons that I've learned. And it's totally free.
I had a wonderful time hosting Katie today. I think it was really interesting for me to hear how her journey to VP was actually prompted by her executive coach, who looked her in the eyes and said, "You're already there. You're not missing anything. It's them, not you." And I also loved her approach of modeling by example. Even the small things like marking in your calendar that you're going to go get your kids or go take some personal time or making that time for yourself and keeping that there for everyone to see shows how important transparency is in your leadership skills. And in fact, a lot of the things I learned today or I heard from her, I'm going to implement tomorrow for my team. It was really, really great hosting her today.
Our next stand-up is in 2 weeks. Before you go, if you found this episode thought-provoking, consider subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about our conversation or more takeaways to help with all the leadership roles you play, visit monday.com or sign up for our newsletter. Links are in the show notes. We'll see you at our next stand-up.